Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, Sal. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful.
Who you got for us today?
We have a returning guest.
Awesome.
Heather Von Dilligan.
And can you spell that?
I can with spell check. It's saved in my computer, and I just put it on there, and it knows what I want, and then it'll spell it correctly.
When our office, I just spell it G-R-A-N-T.
That's right. And that gets me there, too. So, Heather, you have had some changes. Your new responsibilities is the lead or supervisor of the Juntos program.
Hey, time out.
We're going to get to the question of the day.
Okay, I thought you were forgetting.
I just want to make sure I got that. All right, well, let's do that first.
To be here.
We're having the question of the day is a fun one today, and I thought this would be a good one for you, is tell us about your three favorite apps on your phone, and what are they and what do they do?
All right, I would say number one app I use most often is probably our two-factor authentication
app
to be able to get into the Purdue system. So I use that daily. I already used it a few times this morning. My Amazon app, because what's better than having packages delivered to your door? So I love to use the Amazon app, and I would say the photo app. We have a four-year-old daughter, and so always have the camera out taking photos and living out on the farm. Those are probably my three most used and favorite apps.
Very good.
Help me function in my daily life.
All right. And Jeff, you don't even know we have two-factor identification. You just...
Actually, I do. So I do have that. In fact, I have several of them I have to do,
because
it seems like, when we log in for some of our fertilizer terminals and stuff, I have to use multiple different ones.
Who are you?
And every time I log in, I have to remember, okay, which okay, this is this one. So, those are fun. So that's one I use. Obviously, the actual phone app, because I live on that thing talking all day. If somebody's calling my office, I almost know it's probably a spam call because everybody calls my mobile phone.
Yep.
And I guess we got to throw some social media. You know, the photo app. I love Amazon because I've got grandkids and I love to send them stuff. And
awesome.
And it makes my kids mad when I do that. But they try to tell me they don't need anything. And I'm just like, yeah, but I want them to have it. So that's, I do love the Amazon. I'm a gadget guy. And then I should say the podcast app, but I'm going to skip that one and go with it. Probably Facebook. Cause I do like keeping, I can stalk all the people I grew up with and,
absolutely.
I love the birthday things and finding out when people's birthdays are and staying in touch with people. So
that's
I do like Facebook.
It is neat, especially for family, having family sites and stuff. We have one of those for our family and that's kind of, there's so many, unless you get news out, that's the way to do it.
Most of the people in my community know more about what's going on in my family than I do most times.
So my wife posts whatever I do and then she tags me on it and I'll get to work and people are like, hey, I saw that. And I'm like, how did you know this?
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Right. I think mine is probably, the Kindle and Audible app. I have both of those and I usually get the Kindle books with the Audible narration too. And I use those almost daily, on my commute in the mornings and it's kind of nice, relaxing, work on some books and stuff. So that was one. And then, this DuckDuckGo has got an AI now that is so easy to use on the app. And it's, if you've got a question, you can just talk to text into it and it gives you the kind of the summary back. And I use that a lot now. And,
I thought you sounded smarter.
Yes. It didn't take long. I just got to hit my app and I'm a genius.
And is that how you generated the questions
for today,
right.
Sal?
I think so.
And then the others are just kind of the standards. OneDrive, I use it a lot. That is handy when you can access things that's on your computer and it's all stored in one place. But then I use OneNote for everything. I put notes. I used to keep spiral notebooks, like my yearbooks, right? You'd write down everything and Franklin planners, but now it's all in OneNote and Outlook. So I made the digital conversion.
Nice.
All right. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about some fun stuff.
All right.
So tell us, you've got probably three big things going on with 4-H, and I think we should probably start with the your some of your new responsibility or newer responsibilities.
Absolutely.
With the Juntos program. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I was previously the 4-H educator here in Jackson County working locally with the program. And about a year ago, I transitioned to a new role at the Indiana State 4-H office to lead a program called Juntos 4-H. And Juntos means together in Spanish. So this is a bilingual program that brings together families, school partners, and community partners to give youth access to education, to help them learn how to navigate the education system. And so while it was designed with Latino youth and families in mind, really it can be open to anyone. Our family nights are done in Spanish, and we were actually fortunate a couple weeks ago to have some individuals from Premier Companies visit our family night and teach kids about precision agriculture and brought some drones in. So we're really trying to expose youth to a variety of different career paths. So we have Juntos across the state. We're in 9 counties right now. Our largest program is here right in Jackson County. I was talking to Jeff earlier from Davies County, and we have a very active program over in Davies County as well. And I'm in conversations with probably about 6 to 8 other counties that see this as a need in their community. It's just a matter of bringing the right community partners together and finding the people who can really deliver those programs in English and Spanish. And so my role now is a lot of grant writing, volunteer and staff development, and just building community partnerships, not only in local communities, but really across the state and then within Purdue University. We're really trying to leverage those resources we have at Purdue because it's a land grant research-based university. And so there's ways we can bring different departments together to truly make an impact in local communities. And that's been the mission of our land grant university system for well over 100 years, is bringing what's happened at the university to local residents to transform their lives and livelihoods.
How long has that program been in place?
That's a great question. So Juntos has been around nationwide for about 17 years, and we're getting ready. We're actually in our 6th year here in Indiana. We started back in 2020, and we've grown ever since then, the last 5 to 6 years.
So what's your favorite example of what you've seen come out of that program for Indiana?
Wow, that's a great question. So we started this with a group of youth when they were in 8th grade back in 2020. And what's really exciting is we have 2 counties right now that they're graduating their first group of seniors and going on to college and post-secondary options. So it's really exciting to see the kids that have stayed with the program since 8th grade. Now they're graduating from high school this spring, and then they're all exploring some type of post-secondary option, whether that be a trade school, a 2-year college, or 4-year university. So we're really proud of the youth and what they're going to accomplish in their future. And we know that Juntos played a part in that. You know, we have family nights where we bring families together to learn. We have a 4-H club component, very similar to our legacy program, where kids come together and learn about a variety of life skills and different topics. And then we also have a success coach and mentor that's able to work with the youth during the school day to help them set goals for their academic success. And then our 4th component is we always want to get kids to a college campus. So we have a great partnership with the College of Agriculture up at Purdue. Every summer, we bring a group of kids up to Purdue so they can see themselves on a college campus. So it's really exciting to see that program even continue to grow. It's been a 1-day program the last few summers, and this year it's actually going to be a 2-day event, and we're partnering with Purdue Office of Admissions along with the College of Agriculture.
That's fun.
Amazing. That's quite a mission. I mean, that's an amazing lift that you're doing.
Well, thanks.
How many kids are in just Jackson County, for example?
Jackson County, we have about 80 kids enrolled in the Juntos program. Yeah. And statewide, we're reaching between 350 to 400. And we know we're impacting about twice that with the families because the families come to the family nights together. And so it's really exciting when you see, you know, kids, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents in the same room coming to get access to educational opportunities.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
That's nice.
It's great. I've been able to travel the state the last month. I've been up to Elkhart County, Lake County, and just seeing how all the different counties are implementing their program and how, you know, I can go visit and I can see what additional support they need. That's really my role, is providing those local educators the support that they need and building partnerships statewide.
You know, the entire rest of the world is bilingual, and that just... It kills me. I can't speak another language, and you can't either, Jeff.
English was the only foreign language I ever took in school.
That's so right. But it's just amazing that these kids, I mean, they're bilingual already, and so many folks can speak at least 2, mm-hmm. and that just never really catches on out here in the country. I mean, for whatever reason, we'll take a couple of years of a foreign language in high school and forget it by the time we're we're 2 days out of school. So.
Absolutely. And that's how I, you know, first started speaking Spanish. I took it down at Seymour High School and I took a year in college and just being immersed in the culture. And
that's what it takes, really.
That's what it takes, being immersed. And, you know, traveling, when I would travel to countries that spoke Spanish, I was trying to always communicate there. And, you know, locally, our Jackson County Learning Center, they've been offering free Spanish classes. So I've been doing that for about a year and have really, that's really helped increase my Spanish communication skills.
Well, that is pretty neat. That is really, that's an amazing thing. And then you hosted, I think you just hosted our board, right? To kind of show us some of the different things that you have going on. And
yeah, absolutely. We've had, you know, we had a staff member at the local family night that has been, you know, came and talked to the kids about drone usage in agriculture. And we do have a statewide 4-H advisory committee that we put together. I know you talked about the growth of 4-H and these three new programs. So as part of that, we've organized a statewide advisory committee where we've brought together industry leaders and educational leaders. We've had three meetings so far this year. And Harold Cooper, CEO here at Premier Companies, is on our advisory committee. We are really trying to engage our industries and businesses to see what are the skills youth need when they graduate high school and college and enter the workforce. So this is a more intentional conversation Indiana 4-H is having, along with 4-H programs across the nation.
Awesome. And what about Next Chapter? Does that kind of fit in?
Absolutely.
I thought it might.
Absolutely. Next Chapter fits in. So we have another individual at the State 4-H office, Jennifer Abrol, who's really leading these college and career readiness efforts across the state. And so what she has done is created a program, and that program is mostly based on Indiana's employability skills. So if you're not familiar with the employability skills, it's actually a set of skills developed by Indiana employers. And so we used to call these maybe life skills or soft skills, okay, but these are what Indiana 4-H is calling employability skills. And so these are actually through the Department of Education, Indiana Department of Workforce Development, but we're talking about lifelong learning, self-confidence, effective communication, decision-making, taking initiative, problem-solving, adaptability, integrity, time management, organization. And so we're really trying to be intentional in building that pipeline for our, quite frankly, for our society, with youth that are ready for work and ready for life when they leave the Indiana 4-H program. And so Jennifer has been doing a lot of work with the Indiana employability skills and working with school corporations across Indiana to try to get some of that programming in the schools. There's now a class called Preparing for College and Careers. So I know next year she's piloting her curriculum in a school system where kids once a week in Owen County will be able to take the 4-H Next Chapter program. And so this is directly based on these Indiana employability skills and what we see employers need and what kids need to really succeed in college or whatever post-secondary path they might choose. So it's really exciting. She's doing a lot of work at the Indiana Commission on Higher Education. We have two. This is something else that's being piloted. We're working on being able to identify ways for youth to receive college credit for their 4-H experience. So right now, this is brand new piloting. We have a handful of kids signed up, but there's three classes right now at Purdue that kids can actually receive college credit for, based on their 4-H experience.
Wow.
That's really an exciting pipeline.
I got to hear. Do you know what classes they are?
Right now, it's a class in entomology, a class on culture, and then there's also a class in the family and consumer science area. So when you think about some of those, you know, projects kids might have taken, they could take an entomology project. I mean, just learning about others, interacting with others in your club, you learn about all different individuals in society. And then, you think about our sewing projects. And so that goes directly into that family and consumer science pathway at Purdue. So right now it's, three classes at Purdue, but we believe in, looking at the future. I love the paintings out here in Premier's office where, the fourth painting is, it's pretty much blank because we don't know what's to come 100 years from now. But you can see the progression on how, Premier has really impacted communities. And that's how I see 4-H. We were innovative 100 years ago when we got started, and we need to keep that innovation up to be able to prepare youth to be beyond ready for life and work. So three classes right now, but who knows what will come in 20 years from now. We're planting the seed right now.
And did you, she just built the curriculum? I mean, from scratch, or was there any type of framework?
We've actually adapted the framework a bit from University of Nebraska.
Okay.
So they have a Next Chapter program in Nebraska. And, when she saw that and, you know, was looking at all, you know, everything going on with Indiana and workforce development, realized we needed to do some revamping of the curriculum here in Indiana. So really we work with local communities to see, okay, what's the need you have in your community and how can we use this framework to help get you to where you need to go. So yeah, it's kind of almost a custom fit. So, you know, you talk about custom application here at Premier, it's kind of what we do in 4-H. We customize it to our customers, to our clients.
Well, that's, you know, yeah. I was a 10-year 4-H member.
Awesome.
I was a 4-H leader for 25 years.
Love it.
I've had all 7 of my kids go through 10 years of 4-H. Yeah. And I'm learning stuff today. I didn't even know what it was.
Absolutely. And yeah, and this is, you know, something brand new. What kind of got us started on these three programs we're talking about today is Indiana 4-H in September of 2023 received a large gift from Lilly Endowment, and that was in conjunction with the Purdue for Life Foundation and our state 4-H program leader, Dr. Casey Mall, as well as support from Purdue's president, Meng Chang, in applying for this grant. And so we have some dedicated funds right now from Lilly Endowment that's helping us move these three particular programs forward, because we recognize that, you know, while we are, you know, the nation's largest youth development organization, there are still kids that have not been impacted from our programs. So we are being very intentional. There's three of us working kind of in this space. And so we're excited to just reach a whole new group of kids that have traditionally not been served by our 4-H program.
Yeah. Have you guys looked at, and this was the some of the things I would run into, I had friends whose kids, you know, they wanted to be in 4-H, but their parents just like, you're playing baseball. You're not going to do both.
And absolutely.
I was actually at an FFA event. I went back as one of the judges at the state convention, and they have a luncheon. Mm-hmm. And I listened to, one of the older gentlemen there was serving as one of the judges. And he made the comment. He said, you know, whether it's 4-H or FFA, he said, you know, kids learn skills they need that'll stay with them the rest of their life. Getting up and learning to speak in front of people and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we always did that at our 4-H club. I don't care if you were just the mini 4-H member, you had to at least stand up and say your name. And then we get them to say their name and tell us what project, you know, and eventually by the time they're 10th, you know, a 10-year member, you're just like, okay, you can sit down now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, isn't that great to see the growth?
And I used to try to explain to people, we don't have time for 4-H. We've got, you know, soccer and baseball and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're missing something. How do you help combat that?
You know, that's an excellent question. So through some of these newer programs, we are trying to be a bit more intentional about reaching kids where they're at, because we do know kids are busy. So, you know, they might have other commitments in the evening. So Project Discovery, which we haven't really got to talk about yet. I'll kind of take this opportunity to talk about Project Discovery. That is a program that we are implementing in several different school districts across the state. And that's actually a 4-H program that's developed to meet Indiana state educational standards. So teachers are loving having 4-H volunteers or 4-H staff come in and provide opportunities actually during the school day. So where youth get to research specific topics like they would in maybe our legacy program, you know, signing up for a project and really working your way through that 10 years of it to master it. And so that's one way we're working to give kids access to 4-H is during the school day or right after school. Another thing we're also being very intentional about right now as well is working with an evaluator on campus who's actually helping us evaluate and research these programs so that we can take some, you know, some data and some research back to families and say, look, you know, 4-Hers, because they've been involved in this program, they are now XYZ, you know, ready for work and life. So we're really trying to be more intentional about telling our story and the impact it's made. And so that's, I think, something we're going to continue to do that maybe we haven't done as much in the past, because we recognize, you know, we all believe it's, you know, the greatest youth development organization, yeah. And it is the largest. We're serving about 6 million youth right now across the nation. And so we're just trying to get better about telling our story and really, you know, educating families on, you know, it's more than, you know, a lot of people think you have to live in the country, yeah, or you have to own animals.
Yeah.
I was in 4-H for 10 years, but I didn't live in the country. And I credit my leadership skills getting started when I was in kindergarten in 4-H. So I think that's a great question. You know, we're trying to really meet kids where they're at. If they can't come to a club meeting at night, how can we have a club meeting during the day? And we do have some schools that have club meetings during the day, especially with Juntos. We have after-school 4-H clubs and we have in-school 4-H clubs. So it's really kind of working with the kids and families where they're at. And again, kind of tailoring our program to meet the needs of that particular community. Excellent question.
That's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Wow. Thanks.
I tell you, there was so much there. What is, you said that one of the most rewarding and memorable was seeing that first group of the Juntos kids coming, and now they're graduating. Do you feel like it's about to get the snowball effect where, because this is such an outreach program.
Absolutely.
And as an employer, as Premier Ag, I mean, our future employees won't come from a farm, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right now, you know, we are still getting a lot of farm kids, but pretty soon it's going to be people with different experiences.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Where do you see this kind of picking up the momentum, or is it already there?
You know what? It's really starting to pick up. It's pretty exciting. So, you know, here, you know, and I talk a lot about Jackson County. Obviously I live here and have served this community for many years. But one example I would like to highlight is I was up in Elkhart County a couple weeks ago. So that's Northern Indiana, Goshen area. And so I went up and I was able to see a club meeting and a family night and then help chaperone a trip to Vincennes University. So those educators actually organize a trip for anybody in their 4-H program who wanted to go to Vincennes and learn about post-secondary options. They have 3,000 kids in their 4-H program. Huge program.
3,000.
3,000, yeah. 27 out of the 28 kids that signed up to go on that trip were actually in the Juntos 4-H program.
Really?
And so we see kids and families just anxious for that education. And so what's really exciting too up in Elkhart County is they've started now, almost the end of the school year, a second cohort of families in their Juntos program. So we see now multiple groups coming through in communities. And I think the momentum's just going to continue to grow as, again, with our legacy program, word of mouth, you know, kids and families tell, hey, we've had a lot of fun at this club meeting. Oh, we got to make, when I was in Elkhart County, their local educator at the Purdue Extension office taught the kids how to make churros in an air fryer. So we're teaching kids to, you know, here's how to use this appliance, you know, and you might have a small appliance when you go off to college. You need to learn how to use it now. So we're really trying to give those kids practical skills that they'll use, you know, whether they're at home and commuting to school, whether they attend trade school, whether they go to a 4-year university. We really like to say, you know, we're really preparing these kids for life and work. You know, we want to make sure that they're obviously happy in their careers, but we want to give them the skills to succeed no matter what they plan to do after high school. And we're seeing too, people aren't staying in jobs, you know, 20, 30 years. And so people are moving around. We want to make sure that they have those employability skills when they leave our program.
That's great.
If they come to Premier, we need them to stay.
Right. Yes, exactly. I know. I understand. Here, yeah. I understand.
40 years.
Absolutely. Oh, awesome. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, it's really exciting to have these new programs. I'm really reaching a new group of kids through Discovery programs, Next Chapter and Juntos 4-H.
Right.
I think we need to have bring the Juntos program here in Jackson County. I think they need to come out to one of our branches, you know, and have a little show and tell. And
that'd be awesome.
Show them the machines. And
absolutely.
That would, so I volunteer Sal to have that.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Sounds good. Hey, Sal, I'll get a hold of you.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's exactly what we're trying to do within these new programs is to expose kids to a variety of different career paths. You know, some people might think, well, agriculture is not for me, but you know, technology, you can't have agriculture.
It's such a big industry right now.
It's a huge industry. And so we're really trying to promote many different career pathways.
That's awesome.
Well, Heather, I would say anything else, but I just don't know how there could be. What do you do in your spare time?
Oh, you know, hang out on the farm. I like to run and work out and obviously spend time with our 4-year-old daughter, Marin. So, yeah.
All just, right.
Well, keep busy.
You've got a little connection with maybe somebody that works here at Premier.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so any inside scoop or dirt we could get on Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Only great things.
We'll just keep it between us.
Yeah. So, I mean, this might be something you'll probably learn this new today. Actually, Grant and I go way back in 4-H. That's kind of how we met. In 2023, we were the 4-H king and queen together.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's photos of us from back in high school. And then.
Does he have a crown?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He just had a pin that he wore. So I had the crown and the sash.
Okay.
So, I decided after high school to go to college in Michigan, and then I actually moved out to San Francisco, California, and taught out there for 8 years. And we reconnected when I was in San Francisco, and you know, you can't move the farm to California, so I came back to, to Jackson County. So that's kind of our little fun story.
That is a fun story. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, that's a lot. And Heather, thanks for joining us today.
Well, really, it was my pleasure.
We always enjoy having you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Heather.
All right. Well, that's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.
Thanks.